Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, even the great debate, but it can only be either of those if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. The number to dial is 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us, and I'll have to press swiftly on. You can also SMS the show, and your SMS will come up here on the comment wall. The number for that is 4478008066. You can email, and that too will come up on the comment wall, to comment at presstv.co.uk. And you can tweet and ditto. It'll come up there on the comment wall. And the address for that is comment_PressTV. We're asking tonight, what does Israel want from its interference in US politics? This in the wake of the truly bottom-of-the-barrel scraping performance by the United States Congress this week upon the visit of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of what they call Israel. Now, you'll note that I blame them rather than him. After all, if someone allows you to ritually humiliate them, to interfere in their most sovereign internal affairs, and you give them all the money that they ask for, why would you stop? Why would Netanyahu disdain from coming to the United States and ordering United States lawmakers what to do about their relations and the relations with the others in the permanent five plus one and Iran? So I wouldn't blame him. I blame the people he was talking to. Mind you, you got to blame him for the performance. It was excruciating that every piece of doggerel out of his mouth, mindless, mind-numbing, repetitive, mongrel argument about a subject on which he's already utterly discredited, ought to have been treated with derision. Instead, it got more standing ovations. It got more than one standing ovation, one round of applause, every minute of his address. It was a dog's breakfast. It was a repetition, a reheat of the totally discredited presentation he made to the United Nations General Assembly. You'll remember when he stood up with a drawing of a round spherical bomb and predicted that Iran would have that bomb before you could say Jack Robinson. The fact that he'd predicted it in 1992, 1995, 1997, 1999, 2001, and so on, didn't appear to have stopped him using that argument again. It was pitiful, in a way, to see the greatest country on earth, the most powerful, the richest country on earth, almost literally on its knees before a foreign leader, and one who, if the opinion polls are reliable, will not even be that foreign leader in just a couple of weeks' time. Now, the fact that he went there and lectured the Americans may have done something for his standing in Israel, but again, those opinion polls seem to indicate otherwise. But what does the performance do for the reputation of the United States Congress? Excuse me. The fact that a foreign leader can come against the wishes of the President of the United States, against the wishes of the Democratic Party in the United States, which holds the White House, might hold it again, is a remarkable thing. Absolutely remarkable thing. The President of the United States told him not to come. The Vice President of the United States boycotted the session. A handful of senators did. A handful of Congress members did. But the vast majority of American lawmakers were like performing seals, clapping for every word that Netanyahu spoke. So what does that say about them? What does Israel want from its interference in US politics? It wants the money, it wants the weapons, it wants the veto, and it wants the United States to bankroll politically and financially everything that they do. Let's hear from Nana in London. Nana, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
When that blood-soaked buffoon Netanyahu speaks, it's directed to the people in the U.S., you know. It's just for speaking simply, in very simple words, to simple people who don't want to break their mind too much thinking of these problems and understanding them, just giving getting a bit of support from the masses who still watch Fox News, and it's only for that support. But in the other hand, in the other side, the very, very, very powerful and rich lobby speaks to the politicians, blackmail them, and force them to follow any of their wills.
Well, that's right. And it's not even as if Netanyahu is a popular leader of a small foreign country. He's a deeply unpopular and divisive leader of a small foreign state. I agree with everything you said, Nana, but I'm asking this question, really. The United States is a very nationalistic place. They are very boastful about their place in the world, their exceptionalism. Don't you think it might have been expected from the United States public opinion and reflected in the political and media class that there's something deeply wrong about a foreign prime minister coming to order them what they must do? Didn't you think there might be some backlash against that?
He's always doing that. It's just now that the people are looking at it, you know. AIPAC is very powerful. When you hear their speeches, it's scary, you know, to think that some people have that kind of mentality, of that kind of racism, that kind of scary talk, like that evangelistic priest, cousin of George Bush, who speaks at AIPAC and says the giant Zionist beast is awakened, and you have this clapping of hands of all those these monsters, you know. But the general public in America is really busy paying bills and struggling with their lives. And
sure, but they're also paying Netanyahu's bills. They're paying the bills. They're paying the bills of every citizen of Israel.
Fox News will make sure they don't know it, you know?
$3 billion a year they're giving. That money could be spent at home.
They have misery. They have people sleeping in the streets. And they're giving all that money to this bloody country who is just terrorizing the whole area and playing the innocent victim of all these cruel bearded Arabs. But this only works on Fox News and in the surface. The reality is something else. The reality is monstrous. People getting killed, and Obama is supporting that, even if he says, "Oh no, I'm not going to listen to his speech." Obama's going to be out very soon, and somebody else will come, and that one does better than Obama, because when they say they make all these this cinema to tranquilize a little bit Iran and keep them discuss the this deal which can be made in 5 minutes, but it's taking ages.
Yeah.
Between Iran and the United States. It's like tranquilize a little bit Israel from here, tranquilize a little bit Iran from here. But really, in the United States, they're not living the best moments now.
Well, that's true. No doubt about that. I listened very carefully to hear anyone of any significance in the politics or journalism of the United States to speak up against this monstrosity of an idea that a foreign leader can come and address your Congress, be regaled as a hero whilst he's spitting on, and I don't use a more impolite word, the elected leadership of the country. And the only person I heard was John Stewart. John Stewart on his Daily Show was the only person in the entire United States of any note that I could see who actually ridiculed this idea. Thanks for that, Nana. A great first call. And just before I go to the second one, I owe the viewers an apology. I have said here more than once that whilst this Zionist lobby in the United States is phenomenally powerful, that there was no real Zionist lobby in Britain. I was wrong about that. For a variety of reasons, over the last few weeks, it's been brought home to me very, very powerfully that though the signed-up, card-carrying membership of the Zionist lobby in Britain is very small, in fact, their reach is phenomenally powerful. In the media, in every newspaper, there is someone there whose at least secondary purpose is to bring down withering fire on anyone that questions the legitimacy of what they call Israel. At least one person, sometimes two, sometimes three, but in every single newspaper with columns at their disposal, they boast that almost every conservative member of parliament is a member of the Conservative Friends of Israel. The Labour Friends of Israel is the place to be in the Labour Party. You have no chance whatsoever of being a minister in the Foreign Office with responsibility for the Middle East if you were not previously a member, preferably a leading member, of the Labour Friends of Israel. When Liberal Democrats like the now Baroness Jenny Tong or David Ward, the MP in Bradford East, my parliamentary neighbour, dared to raise any kind of fundamental opposition to the British government's role in the region, they were sacked, in Jenny Tong's case, from the Liberal Democrats, suspended more than once in the case of David Ward. One documentary showed that 50%, 50, of conservative funds are coming from Zionist lobbies. That's what Peter Oborne, one of the finest, most respected journalists in Britain, said in his documentary. 50% of the Conservative Party, the government party, of its election expenditure and its expenditure to run itself as a party is coming from Zionist lobbies. So I was wrong when I said that the Zionist lobby in Britain is insignificant. And if this wasn't a family show, I could show you my scars. Rahman is in South Africa, and he's up next. Rahman, welcome to the show.
Yes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam. Thanks for coming.
The same thing is happening here in South Africa as well. The Jews here, they control the media, the television, the radio. Anything to do with Zionism, you don't hear of, they hide it. Only when the Arab fires a cracker, then it's headlines, unfortunately. And the sad thing, when Kerry went to rebuke the UN, telling them, stop exposing the atrocities of the Zionist Jews because you are embarrassing us. And and another sad thing is, the so-called Christian world, they're so blind and they're so God-forsaken, they can't see that the Zionist Jews has got no regard for their God, the so-called God Jesus. They say he was an imposter, he was an illegitimate Messiah, and yet the same so-called Christians, they support the Zionists against the Muslims who believe in Jesus, and to believe in Jesus is a part of the faith, is part of the Islamic faith. And the Christian world, they can't see this. That shows how powerful and how dominant the Jewish lobbyists throughout the world, as far as the media, the Hollywood is concerned, and all this propaganda.
Well, it's not a Jewish lobby, of course. It's overwhelmingly not Jewish. And as you're coming from South Africa, let me tell you that I was underground during the apartheid era as an operative of the African National Congress, undercover, underground, moving around the country. And every house that I slept in, every dinner that I ate, every car that I traveled in, every rand that was in my pocket came from heroic Jews, members of the African National Congress. So Jews don't have to be with apartheid. And many Jews in South Africa were not with apartheid South Africa. And there are many Jews in the world who are not with apartheid Israel. But the Zionist lobby, you are right, is in a very powerful position in the media, in, I don't know about all countries in the world, definitely in yours, definitely in mine, and definitely in the United States. But they're not Jews. Rupert Murdoch is the biggest Zionist in the world, but he's not a Jew. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Many Jews are not Zionists. Most Zionists are not Jews. We have to be careful that we get the terms, the nomenclature, correct, Rahman. Thanks for the call. Farida is in London. Farida, you're up next.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sister. Go ahead.
If I ever doubted the term lame duck president,
yeah,
it was brought home to me by the performance of Mr. Netanyahu.
Yeah, he wrung the neck of the lame duck, didn't he?
Exactly. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi said that it was an insult, what Mr. Netanyahu had said. But the number of standing ovations that he got from those, I don't know what to call them.
Performing seals.
I was feeling sick to my stomach, George. America's double-faced policies have gotten itself into a state when it is the most hated nation in the world. And by letting Mr. Netanyahu into the Congress, and as you said, into the actual heart of the American politics, what the hell is the American public doing about this? How can you allow a foreign state president to come and make the kind of speech that Mr. Netanyahu dared to perform there like that? And you know, when the Middle East, which is a mess in any case, and the Americans turn around and say, why do they hate us? We want to help them. And as far as Mr. Netanyahu and the Iranian nuclear question is concerned, I think he was playing more to his far-right members for his own consolidation, and he's going to use Iran to the best of his ability because it really gets everybody worked up.
Is it your impression, Farida, that the speech and the response to it will heavily influence the United States' attitude to the outcome of the P5 plus one talks?
I hope not. I hope that the Americans still have enough sense in their heads to be able to see through what Mr. Netanyahu is doing. Because that man is so ruthless, he'll stop at nothing. Like you said, scraping the barrel is not the right kind of derogatory remark that I can pass about him.
Mm. Only 50 U.S. lawmakers boycotted the speech. I think 8 senators out of 100. And therefore, 42 Congress members out of, I think, 350 or something like that. It was very courageous of those who did. And it was good that the vice president, who is himself a fanatical Zionist, didn't preside over the session as he would normally have done. But I repeat a point I made earlier, Farida. It is extraordinary that in a highly nationalistic country, which is always waving its flag and wears its flag on its sleeve, should allow itself not to be influenced, as we said there on the screen, but actually dictated to by the here today, gone tomorrow prime minister of a tiny, tiny state.
Remark, George.
Please do.
This is for the Americans. When the downfall of a nation comes, it is not from any kind of threat from without. The rot starts from within. And if Americans are not careful, that is the road they're going down. The rot is within themselves. It has nothing to do with any outside influence.
I agree. That's why I blame them rather than him.
Exactly.
Farida, thanks for that call. Andrew's in London. He's on now. On you go, Andrew.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, dear. After I'd finished throwing up yesterday, watching this thing, I was based out there in Palestine from 2012 to 2014, so I sort of witnessed firsthand living in Bethlehem, which is completely surrounded.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, I mean, it's just almost, to me, it's almost laughable. You know, these maniacs that we have in charge, and just some of the things, the statements he was coming out with, didn't he say something along the lines of, when we went face to face with Hamas last year in in Gaza, and I just could not believe it. I mean, everything you're saying is just like seals, you know, like performing seals.
It was quite surreal. Andrew, the last caller made a point that I didn't deal with.
It is an extraordinary thing
that the Christian world is so unmindful, oblivious perhaps, or careless, utterly careless, of the position of Christians in Palestine. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, is besieged, is surrounded by walls and checkpoints.
They loom over the whole city on all sides, menacingly so, and it's not just the Palestinian people that have to suffer the injustice of these checkpoints and stuff. Myself, as a white British national, you know, they were just as rude and disrespectful and downright nasty towards myself. And you've got kids, you've got spotty teenage kids with guns.
Well, you know that. And they certainly would win any competition for the world's rudest people, the Israelis. Even the Israelis would concede that point. I myself had a gun, not pointed at my chest, but on my chest. Some 20 years ago in Nablus, and it was wielded by a man with a shock of pure blonde hair, piercing blue eyes, and an Eastern European accent. And when I put my hands up, he said, "If you don't put your hands down, I'm going to kill you." I said, "Isn't it normally the other way around?" And the then British consul, later ambassador to Iran, Richard Dalton, had to race in a jeep from Jerusalem to Nablus to get me out of jail. And all I was doing was walking around the souk in Nablus. So I empathize with your problems at the checkpoint, Andrew.
Can I just make a very quick point, Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
When I came to exit, because I literally went mad there after some time, at the airport, when I mentioned that I had been in Bethlehem, their whole attitude towards me changed through the security system, and I was humiliated like nothing I've ever experienced before in my life, and they tried to confiscate all of my computer equipment and hard drives because I'm a photographer, and fortunately my partner was there to be able to take them away with her. She was a diplomat. And but the humiliation, I mean, it's just...
Well, they certainly don't draw the line at humiliating foreigners. Indeed, they kill them, as Rachel Corrie and Tom Herndl found out. Now, I have to go for just 3 minutes for a short news bulletin. The question is about Israel and American politics. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're asking tonight, what does Israel want from its interference in US politics? Well, for me, the answer is simple. They seek to scupper the prospective deal between the permanent five plus one and the Islamic Republic of Iran on the nuclear question. They seek to keep a stranglehold of sanctions on the people of Iran, and they seek to terrify the world with the possibility that they will attack Iran if the deal goes through. Now, I personally think that that is a false prospectus for a variety of reasons. Israel is not strong enough to attack Iran. And if it does attack Iran, it will pay a very terrible price for it. I don't believe that the world will stand by and allow Israel, which is uniquely dependent on other people's money, other people's goodwill, to mount such an attack. I don't believe that Netanyahu will still be there. I don't believe that the Israeli security service, the Mossad, is in support of Netanyahu's stance on this issue. Indeed, it was revealed during Netanyahu's visit to the United States that his claims were contradicted by his own intelligence service. That's what I think they want from their interference in US politics. The US political class covered themselves in shame and disgrace, which is perhaps an even bigger question. Let's hear from North America, from Canada, Toronto, where Omar is on the line. Omar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. How are you, brother?
By the grace of God, I'm good, sir. Go ahead.
Just saying, there is no good that they want from it except from themselves, not from the Iranians, not from the Palestinians, not from the rest of the world. It doesn't matter if the Mossad, they agree with it or not. They haven't been agree with a lot of issues, and they did it, and there wasn't no good from it, from nobody except themselves. And I think whatever they're seeking now is to bring more tension and try to escalate it into another scenario and try to take out the attention that is going on in the region about the ISIS, ISIL, and whatever other groups they have invented, including.
Well, I don't agree with that latter point, but let me deal with the first point, which is something I should have said at the beginning, and you're right to imply it. One of the things, Joe, I'll let you in a minute. I'll let you come back in a minute. I want to agree with you on one point. The one of the consequential benefits for Israel from this is that nobody is focusing on Palestine. Nobody is focusing on the situation in Gaza, where life is quickly becoming literally unlivable, as is being highlighted by a number of international agencies, including the United Nations. It diverts attention from almost certainly an attempt again to attack and invade and subjugate Gaza. If everyone is focusing on Iran and the nuclear question, they're not focusing on the siege and the occupation of Palestine. Omar.
Yes, George. Well, I say this because they provide the supply to all the militias that fighting against the Syrian government, against the Lebanon, and they do provide, we know that they do smuggle one way or another through Turkey. It has been proven by many journalists through the investigation that have been going on, and it has been witnessed that they do give them medical treatment, the wound ones, and there is nothing can't prove that they do support them and they do provide.
Well, they certainly have given medical treatment. Just this week, actually, Jabhat al-Nusra, al-Qaeda operative, was treated in a field hospital on the Israeli side of the occupied Golan border. And they are, of course, objectively on the same side as al-Qaeda and ISIS against the regime in Syria. That much is true. But the weapons that the Al-Qaeda and ISIS are using did not come from Israel. It came from either stolen property from the Iraqi armed forces or was supplied by the money given to them by the Persian Gulf Arab dictatorships who are supporting them, and direct aid from Western countries, former occupiers of that area, like France and Britain. So they have no need of Israeli weapons. They've got plenty of weapons coming from countries that are never done telling us how Muslim they are. Omar, thanks for the call. Mario's in Malta. He's up next. Mario, what do you think they want?
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
How are you, George?
By the grace of God, good.
Yeah. See, yeah, I'm going to say this. Netanyahu, I think, when he went to America, he should have taken a shield with him, you know, because he thinks that he's Captain America. This guy, you know, it's crazy, he's crazy. And I don't know what this to Netanyahu. If you want to start a war with Iran, you won't do nothing with Iran, even though they haven't got an automatic bomb.
No, they don't have a nuclear bomb, and they don't want a nuclear bomb.
They don't want. But he will do nothing with Iran. Iran
Israel, of course, has hundreds of nuclear bombs. Iran has zero nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
I've said before on here, I don't know if they like me saying it, in Tehran, if I was Iran, I would build a nuclear bomb. Why should other people have nuclear bombs pointed at me, but I don't have a nuclear bomb myself? But the fact is, Iran has forbidden itself by religious authority to develop a nuclear bomb. The whole thing is a simple canard. It's a simple trick, a smoke and mirrors confidence trick, which Israel and the United States and others have been playing this last years, that they have been choking the life out of ordinary people in Iran. Thanks, Mario and Malta. Let's go to Robert in Scotland, our youngest correspondent. Robert, welcome.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir.
Well, basically, I think there's like a few reasons why Netanyahu is in the United States. Firstly, I believe it's to basically dehumanize the Palestinians even further. Call them monsters, terrorists, whatever you like, because Barack Obama and the Barack Obama administration are basically against, well, not, I wouldn't say against, but I would say that they are beginning to quickly grow annoyed and fed up with Netanyahu and with the Likud party. I believe they're getting fed up with them because they're bossing the United States around, and Barack Obama's just fed up of basically being told what to do by someone else. And the second
But he doesn't have the backbone to do anything about it.
He doesn't have the backbone, no. The second reason is because Netanyahu wants to reaffirm his point of view that he wants to nuclearly obliterate the Islamic Republic of Iran. His mad dream, his apocalyptic dream to obliterate the nation of millions and the homeland of even more people. It's losing support. The idea is losing support because President Hassan Rouhani of the Islamic Republic is becoming more and more cooperative with the West, and Israel wants to continue to dehumanize this man, to put him across as some kind of psychotic murderer, even though that would be a more accurate description of
self-description.
Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And he wants to put this across so that he can drum up even more support for bombing Iran. But it's never, ever going to happen.
I'm sure that it's not going to happen. I'm as sure as I can possibly be that Israel is not strong enough to launch a military attack against Iran. The consequences would be most grave. And President Rouhani, as you've heard me say before, is my former constituent in Glasgow when he was a student. And he's certainly to be preferred to the madman that was addressing the American Congress this week. Thanks, Robert. Joseph is in Australia, where it's very early in the morning. Joseph, welcome. Hello, Joseph.
Hi, Joseph. Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know it's pretty late. I hope it's been worth the wait.
I hope so.
Yeah, we know Ahmadinejad, he said what he said. You know, you could see he carried pretty much his heart on his sleeve, and we all knew what kind of person he was. Like, they called him a wolf in wolf's clothing. But with this one, Rouhani, you know, unfortunately, they say he's a sheep. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. We've just got to keep that in mind. But the question is, what would America do? Like Bibi once said in an interview on a particular television program.
Who once said?
Bibi once, when he was in
Bibi, you call him. Bibi. Bibi. Yes, Bibi.
A particular television interview. He said, they asked him, what would you do if America fails to act regarding Iran? Will Israel take the initiative? The former prime minister sat there for a short period of time and then said nothing, but then he said, if America doesn't act as it regards Iran, Israel will be forced to do so. We cannot allow the existence of our state to be...
Are you going to go and put your tin hat on, Joseph? Or are you going to sit this one out in Australia?
If the
I'm asking you, Mr. Warlike, you big tough guy, you, are you going to put your tin hat on and go and fight Iran? You useless, miserable coward of a propagandist with your wolf and sheep's clothing. What are you? You're a rat in sheep's clothing. You come on here proselytizing for war, for more bloodshed from Australia, from your island continental fastness. You make me sick. Get off my program. Get off my airwaves and don't sit up all night waiting to come on here again. You disgust me. Andy is in Vancouver. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, hello, George.
Hi there.
Yes. I would like to talk about the latest farce of Netanyahu in the Congress.
Yes.
And humiliating Obama for the first time ever in history. A foreign prime minister comes to the Congress and walk all over the president and the Congress. And I want to show how it reflects APAC control of the U.S. Congress and using the election campaign funding to buy every member of the Congress there.
Almost. There were 50 exceptions, let's be fair. But you're right,
yes.
Almost.
Yes, but the point I would really like to raise, to run for the Congress, you have to pledge allegiance to Israel or you will not get funded by the Zionist PACs. And this is a well-established fact. And this makes the people helpless, the American people helpless, because...
No, the people are not helpless, Andy. The people don't have to vote for these performing SEALs.
But you know, they have to vote either for a person well funded by APAC or will be thrown out, and that's the problem. People vote second after APAC. As you know, if you don't have funding to run your election campaign, you can never win, and that's the main problem. Is that if you don't pledge allegiance to Israel, your opponent will be well-funded, you will be thrown, and this is a well-established fact in the past 100 years.
No, I understand that. I accept that. It is undoubtedly overwhelmingly true in the United States. It's partly true in Canada.
Absolutely.
And it's partly true in Britain, as the statistics I gave you earlier bear out. But the United States public has to find some self-respect. They're always telling us what a great nation they are, and yet they allow a tiny, tiny foreign country to buy their entire political class. It is an extraordinary thing, and we have to raise our voices against it, whatever the consequences. And I know about the consequences. Andy, thanks for that outstanding call. Jojo is in South Africa, in Cape Town. He's on next. Jojo.
Hi, George.
Hi.
This is George, Captain South Africa.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
To the question you asked about what Israel is seeking to interfere to American politics, for me, it doesn't have a direct impact on the negotiation that's going on in Iran. For me, it's Israel is trying to regain the trust and to control the situation that they have lost since the last war they went on Palestine. Remember, after the last war, it's then we saw countries like France, Spain, and Scandinavian countries supporting the Palestinians. As an African, you will see in Africa, it's for the first time that we understood that actually Israel is not a victim country. They are very powerful. They're playing the victim. So Netanyahu is very clever. He's seeing that the support they're losing around the world, and now they're trying first to control America, because if they control America, America is actually dictating the world. So they will regain the trust, and they will keep doing what they've been doing for all these past years. The bluff is they're talking about nuclear things. These are the threats to try to divert. I think Netanyahu is playing a really deep political game here. This is my view. And
no, thanks for it. Thanks for it, Jojo. Always delighted to hear from one of my all-time favorite cities in the world, Cape Town. Niala, still in Africa, in Malawi. Niala, welcome.
Hello, George.
Hello, sir. Welcome.
How are you, George?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Nice to hear from Malawi. I visited there once.
Thank you very
I was the last British politician to meet Prime Minister Banda.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. In the first place, I wish to thank you for that nice program.
Thanks.
Israel sees its neighbors because the state he is ruling is established in a foreign, stolen land. And because of this fear, is when now he has the state itself knows that the United States of America cannot stand on its own minus the support of Israel, because the whole of that those people who are surrounding and listening to the state, all these people are the Jews. So the Netanyahu knows about this, and he knows that he can say anything, and United States can dance to its tunes. So what it wants is to undermine the legitimacy or the legitimacy of the United States, and it is undermining even the United Nations, which was supposed to be in front, in the forefront, to fight all the battles, to challenge like democracy, to challenge everything in the Middle East. But it has overtaken, like a policeman bulldozing everything, and it has capitalized on the weakness of the United Nations to challenge all these facts. That's my contribution.
Okay, thanks, Niala. I used to argue until quite recently that the tail never wags the dog, but the tail is definitely wagging the dog in the United States today. I reiterate, though, a point I made earlier. The Jews in the United States are a tiny, tiny proportion of the population, and they are a tiny percentage of the Zionist lobby. Most of the Zionist lobby in the United States of America, overwhelmingly most, are evangelical Christians. And there are quite a few of them in Africa, in Nigeria and elsewhere, are amongst the foremost defenders of the Zionist state and appear to care nothing for the plight of the Christians in Palestine and the holy places there. Emmanuel is in Libya. Emmanuel, welcome to the show. Emmanuel, turn your television down.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Hello, turn your television down, please.
It's turned down. I turned it down already.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, George. I'm a follower of your program. George, I want to talk about this the Netanyahu visit to United States. Netanyahu, the Israel, most of their things, they depend on U.S., and they want the support of U.S. in anything they do, whether good or bad. And the U.S. finance most of their things they do there. Again, I want to say myself back to the guy that called and talk about so-called Christians and Muslims. George, I think this world, we should know that we have one God, and we serve one God alone. Religion, politics is different from religion. What is happening in the Middle East, I don't think it's religion, George. I think it's politics there.
Yes, so, I agree. Emmanuel, I'm going to cut you short. Call me again next week. We'll have a longer talk, because I want the last word to come from the United States itself. Chicago, Maher is on the line. Maher, you're the last caller. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, George. How are you?
You're in President Obama's hometown. How did it all look from there?
Well, when you follow for years, okay, first of all, Zionist Hollywood is known to always. Let's say, always running the show, you want to say misleading. And right now what's going on with Netanyahu coming here, all it is just another play, another big play of Hollywood, okay, to try to cover up the real agenda, because there's so much going on with the United States right now, which is the problem in Russia, the problem in the Middle East, the problem in Afghanistan. And right now, this is just to, cover up what the real agenda is behind the curtain, which is just buying time to for Iran. Actually, this is just to buy more time to show Iran that there is talks and that they're being frank, and there's no frank at all in the picture. This is just a play on the front.
Well, it was a pretty humiliating and degrading, shameful play. You can continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. The United States political class and its media covered themselves in shame, allowing the leader of a here today, gone tomorrow government in something that they call Israel to humiliate the greatest country on the earth. Next week, God willing.
Hello, just comment on your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure
that your television volume is set up to
0. Can you spell your name for me? Yeah, I know. You redirect me to put through this phone number and then we'll be back.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll just want to call it up to this.